Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Zeige Christus, schönste Blumen, dort auf jenen Zionsberg. Zu dir kommen alle Frommen, o du schönster Himmelswerk. O du klarer Sonnenschein, lass doch gehen die Strahlen dein. O du klarer Sonnenschein, lass doch gehen die Strahlen dein. Deinetwegen bin ich kommen, o du gnadenreicher Gott. Augen gehen mir über und mein Mund ist auf zerfaut. Wenn ich nicht mehr reden kann, Jesus, nimm mein Seiten an. Wenn ich nicht mehr reden kann, Jesus, nimm mein Seiten an. In dem Garten will ich gehen, da mein Heil verborgen liegt. Such dich, dich mit Angst und Pflegen, schönster Schatz, wo find ich dich? Blümelein wird mein Jesus zu finden sein. Unter diesem Blümelein wird mein Jesus zu finden sein. Weil sich selber tut nennen und das Blümlein Meister ist und die Blümlein ihn erkennen für den Herrn Jesus Christ. Weil sie Lilien blühen aus hier in diesem Gotteshaus. Weiße Lilien blühen aus hier in diesem Gotteshaus. So will ich mich auch hinwenden zu den Herren Jesus Christ. Er wird meiner auch gedenken, wenn mein Herz in Ängsten ist. Mein Herz, das will ich schenken dir zu einer wahren Vier und Vier. Mein Herz, das will ich schenken dir.
Over the years, as a pastor and a radio teacher, I've been trying to bring the message, the gospel of salvation, to the people and to make it as clear as possible so that they'll understand. That is the responsibility of anybody who calls himself a pastor or a teacher. I know for a fact there are many out there who are caught up in religion, thinking that they are pastors, thinking that they are teachers, even though they themselves don't really understand the way of salvation. They will still get up and preach on a weekly basis. Many religious people are like that. They don't seem to understand that eternity is a very long time. And they have to put their religion up against the Bible to make sure that they're compatible, because there are so many religions that come close to the truth but fall short. In today's religious world, we have this thing called socialism. People helping one another, people trying to be good to each other. That's not the gospel. The gospel is simply this, that a man is lost, dead in trespasses and sin, and he needs a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid for the sin penalty of everyone on this planet. For the Bible teaches us the Lord is willing that none perish. And he gave himself for us. The Bible teaches us he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And those that know, that believe in his name, to them give he power to become the sons of God. So if you know and understand and hear what the gospel is, then the ball is in your park. You need to make a decision to turn to this Jesus for your salvation. So today I will be teaching on the difference between religion and Christianity. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of salvation. We know, Lord, that 2,000 years ago, you give us an offer that is so incredible that it's almost unbelievable. Help me, Lord, to bring this out as clear as possible. I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most interesting scriptures found in the Bible is found in Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 6, where it tells us that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. So regardless how a man tries to be right and good in the eyes of God, the Bible declares that they are filthy. So what, and that is not talking about our bad things. It's talking about our good things that we try to do to appease God in our religious organizations. A person should look at that scripture and believe it. For this is what the Bible teaches us. We cannot enter into the kingdom of God by our own righteous acts. It will never work. We have to depend on the Lord to give us that righteousness that God demands. And that righteousness means holiness, perfection, and purity. And without this, we shall not see God. This is very, very interesting. Not too long ago, I asked a person, what do you want to do with your life? And that person told me, I would like to live as close to God as possible. I'd like to serve him. And I asked that person a question. Are you ready to accept the fact that you're righteous, holy, and pure before your God? Because before you can live close to him and worship him in true righteousness, then you have to accept the fact that he made you clean. And that person kind of backed off and admitted that he did not understand this. Well, I want to try to make people understand so that they'll see and turn to the Lord for salvation. Isaiah chapter 28 in verse 9, it tells us, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. What does this scripture mean? Who will God teach? Who will God show the things of the kingdom of God? Them that understand what true salvation is. Them that are weaned. Those who know where they stand with God. The milk of the Word of God is the gospel of salvation. That's where it starts. We know when a baby is born, it has to have milk from his mother's breast. This is exactly what the Bible calls milk in the New Testament. The milk of the Word of salvation. Before we can begin seeking God's direction for us, we have to accept the message of salvation, which is being born again. Not being born the first time, like as we did when we became human beings, but being born again by the Spirit of God. This is the milk of the Word of God. Being born again, knowing that you're now a citizen of heaven. When a person becomes born into this world, he knows for a fact that he is a citizen of this world. He gets his birth certificate and his social security number, which tell him who he is and where he resides. And that's how it works when you become born again. You're automatically and instantly transferred into the kingdom of God. And these are the ones that God will start showing knowledge. Those who have been weaned from the milk. Those who understand their salvation. But religious people don't seem to want to understand that. They don't allow themselves to hear what the Word of God teaches. They're so sure of themselves that they don't even check the Word out to see if it's compatible with their religion. I remember my religious upbringing. I never questioned whether I was right or wrong. I was taught from a youth on that I was in the right religion. Until one day, it seemed to dawn on me that I was a good person. It wasn't about my religion which I was concerned for. I knew I wasn't following it the way I should. And for those of you who are in religious organizations, you're not following the religion the way you should. And you know that is true. So if you're not following your religion the way you should, what makes you think you're going to stand with God in righteousness? You're not following God at all. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 29 in verse 13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for so much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of man." What is most religious people's fear of God? It's what they've been taught by men, what God wants. And some of these religious organizations are hilarious. When you study them a little bit, you wonder how in God's name can they think of such things. But that's what they were brought up in, and that's what they believe. Religion is religion. It's not Christianity, regardless from what religion you come from. Isaiah chapter 30, in verse 1, it tells us, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that taketh counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." People cover themselves with their religious rules, laws, and regulations. Like I told you last week on the program about this woman who I counseled in Christianity, and she explained to me how holy she felt in the dress that she wore. What an abomination to Christ. How can somebody think that he that somehow the dress or the clothing they wear makes them holy. In Matthew chapter 15, in verse 8 and 9, it tells us this. This people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And this is how it works. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Let's look at the Muslim religion for a couple of seconds. These people are taught that if they will blow themselves up and kill enough Jews, or kill one or two Jew or a Christian, then they have paradise immediately. And on and on their teaching goes on what will happen to them when they kill themselves for Allah. Now, that is a religion that to most religious people is way far away from God. But that's what those people have been taught, and that's what they believe. I've heard many testimonies from Muslims who claim that they thought that they had to convert the world to the Muslim religion, thus pleasing Allah, whom they claim is their God, which in reality is nothing but a demonic being. So we need to understand, regardless how far you are away from the truth or how close you are to the truth, if you don't have the truth, you don't have the truth. And it says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. This is how it works. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. People in religion are forever studying, but because they're not in the truth, they will never see the real truth. Even though an angel of light will speak to them, they will think they have the truth, but the truth is far from them. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The Bible teaches us there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, except for the name of Jesus. So for those of you who are listening, regardless what religion you're in, whether you're way out in left field or very close to the truth, it doesn't matter. You need to turn to Christ for salvation. You need to see him as the only way into the kingdom of God and nothing else. So open your heart to these interesting truths. We are fast running out of time. Jesus is soon coming for his bride. For the earthquakes that are happening, the pestilence that we see are the signs of the times. They are the signs that Jesus told his disciples. When these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So let the Lord open your heart and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
God, this believe bless me, Helen. God, this believe and lift down me. Drum sag it's no high magas. Thank you.
When a person becomes born again, he needs to study the Word to show himself that he is approved of God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed of himself. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 4 that there is a rest for the people of God. Once you have assurance of salvation, then you enter into that rest. And from then on, God can start showing you the meat of the Word, how to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that there are a lot of Christians out there who claim to be Christians, but don't have any assurance that they belong to God. It's as if a person would be born into this world, and once he's 5 years old, he'll start arguing whether he belongs to his mom or his dad. He will not be quite sure of himself, even though they raised him up, they fed him, they clothed him, they tried to assure him that he was theirs, but he would still doubt that they were his mom and dad. And this is how it is with many Christians when it comes to salvation. They accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They accept the Father. They accept God as their Father, but still doubt whether they belong to Him. So here is how it works. If you are not sure of yourself, then God can in no way or form take you farther on in the work of God. First, a person has to know where he stands with Him. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, or as though you were infants in Christ." An infant is somebody that is just born. It doesn't know anything yet. It has to get to know who he belongs to or who she belongs to. And eventually he gets to trust his parents, if they are parents that are worthy to be called parents. But in God we can trust. He is a worthy God. But people don't seem to take his word at what it says and doubt whether they belong to him. So they have to be fed milk. It tells us, "I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food." And this is the problem with many, many believers. They need milk yet. They need to be told how to be born again. I know there are a lot of religious people listening to this program, thinking that their religion is going to get them into the kingdom of God. That is why I spend so much time preaching on salvation and assurance of salvation. I want people to understand that they cannot enter into the kingdom of God through their own efforts and their own rules and regulations. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 1, Every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sin, and he is able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weakness. So here is a question I have for you. If you have a pastor or a teacher, does he deal gently with you when you're wayward or when you're ignorant? Ignorant means you don't know. You have to gently explain the way of salvation. There is no rough stuff when it comes to explaining the way of salvation, because Jesus wants to draw you to him through the love of Christ. And the reason we need to do it through a compassionate heart is because we understand there is a terrible time of judgment called the eternal lake of fire. So the pastor with compassion tells the people that they need to get born again. They need to get saved because he himself understands that's the reason why he is not going to enter into judgment, because he has accepted the way of salvation. When I became a Christian, I had one thing in mind, and that is to tell everybody how to get into the kingdom of God. It didn't matter who it was. I told everyone who would listen that they need to become born again. There is no such a thing as religion that'll get you into heaven. It has to be done through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So open your heart to these incredible truths and become a blessing to those around you. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.